is VOA News. I'm Faith Lapidus. U.S. President Donald Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe expressed differing views Monday on whether recent North Korean missile tests violated a U.N. Security Council resolution, but remained united on the ultimate goal of achieving a denuclearized Korean peninsula. Speaking during a joint news conference after talks in Tokyo, Trump said he viewed the tests as a bid for attention by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and that he was not personally bothered by them. Abe said the tests did violate the Security Council resolution. He also repeatedly stressed that in negotiations with North Korea, his government is most interested in resolving the issue of North Korean abductions of Japanese citizens. Euroskeptic parties topped the polls Sunday in the European Parliament elections in Britain, France, and Italy. Across the 28-member European Union, they enjoyed their best-ever results in the 5-yearly elections, boosting their share of seats in the 751-strong parliament from 155 to 169. But behind the populist celebration Sunday night, there was also satisfaction in Brussels, as we hear from Reuters' Ryan Brooks.
Pro-EU parties held on to two-thirds of 751 seats. Perhaps the biggest victory can be claimed by the pro-EU Greens. They won nearly 70 seats, according to official projections, with strong support in Germany. The next key result, the EU's two-party grand coalition has lost its majority. The European People's Party and the S&D lost out to other pro-EU parties, like the Greens, and also the Liberals, who won over 100 seats. Those four groups look to have secured over 500 seats. Luxembourg's Liberal Prime Minister tweeted, "Europe wins, and pro-European parties are the strongest."
This is VOA News. Three powerful explosions in Kathmandu, Nepal's capital, killed four people and injured at least seven others on Sunday. Though no group has claimed responsibility, police suspect that an outlawed communist organization, the Splinter Communist Group, was responsible for the blasts. Police say a pamphlet from Splinter was found at the site of the first blast. At least some of the dead and injured are believed to be members or supporters of the group. Thousands of prisoners in Turkish jails have ended a 200-day-long hunger strike after jailed Kurdish rebel leader Abdullah Öcalan was allowed to see his lawyer for the first time in 8 years. "Comrades who have committed themselves to hunger strikes and death fasts, I expect you to end your protest," Öcalan said in an appeal to his supporters on Sunday. He's been allowed to see his attorney twice in the past week. Öcalan is leader of the outlawed PKK, which has been fighting a guerrilla war for an independent Kurdish state in Turkey. Monday is Memorial Day in the United States, a day to remember those who fell in service to their country. As AP Sagarmaghani reports, the horror of war remains fresh for some D-Day veterans who will return to France for the invasion's 75th anniversary.
Steve Milnikov is nearly 100 years old, but the numbers stick with him.
We had more than 80% casualties in 11 days of combat,
including a lieutenant riddled with machine gun fire.
Standing there and just taking all these hits.
And when the firing stopped,
he just hit the ground. He was gone.
Vincent Corsini struggled with telling a fellow soldier his friend was dead.
Hoping that the ground would open up and swallow me.
For Milnikov, it was just reality.
That is what happens in war.
A war he refused to talk about for decades, but now says he must to both keep what happened fresh and to keep it from happening again.
They gave their lives so we can have what we have.
Sagar Meghani at the Pentagon.
Washington continued its noisy Memorial Day tradition as thousands of motorcycles roared into Washington Sunday for what organizers say will be the last rolling thunder in the nation's capital. The annual event is meant to draw attention to more than 83,000 U.S. military personnel still listed as missing in action from World War I through the recent fighting in Iraq. The list also includes 126 people believed missing from operations related to the Cold War. The first Rolling Thunder was held in 1988, but Executive Director Artie Muller says this is the last year he'll hold the ride in Washington. He's grown frustrated with the Pentagon bureaucracy in coordinating the event. I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.